Thank you. Good morning, everyone. What a special day it is as we celebrate 500 years ago that God led a young man named Martin Luther as he struggled to apply God's word as a pastor to his congregation and to his students, that he asked for a debate. All he wanted was a debate. Let's sit down and talk so that we get things right. How could he have ever known that 500 years later, there would be millions of people all over the world recognizing that was a critical day in the history of the world, and that we have incredible freedom because of what he discovered in the scriptures? And so today we culminate our celebration of the 500th anniversary, celebrating today Christ alone. Just a reminder that if you could fill out the connection card, that helps us tremendously. You are doing a marvelous job. We just found out, we did another study and found out that over 80% of you faithfully fill this out every week. That's an incredible percentage, and I just want to thank you for that. And if there's any prayer requests that we can bring before God for you and with you, please let us know, or if there's any other way, let us know on the back of the connection card, and then place it into the offering later on. Now I'd ask you to please stand as we begin our worship.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Trust the sweetest frame,
Without your word, O God, our lives are built upon sand.
The sinking sand of selfishness, the foolishness of pride.
Hear us, Lord, as we confess our sin. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus' death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. He said to his people, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a child of God and an heir of eternal life.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Oh,
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in your undeserved love for us, you sent us your Son, Jesus, to be the only Savior this world will ever know or need. Help us to daily live in repentance and to cherish his saving work for us.
So that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again.
We pray in Jesus' name. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now lesson on this Reformation Sunday comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll be reading from chapter 3, beginning with verse 19 in the Pew Bible on page 1129. And this lesson is the scripture that really turned Martin Luther around. As he struggled to understand how to be right with God, he finally came across this truth that God's righteousness, the righteousness that God demands of us, becomes ours through faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 3, we begin with verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law, rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This is the word of our God. We join with our festival choir to sing the Psalm of the Reformation, Psalm 46, as it is formatted in the worship folder. Gospel, found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, in the Pew Bible on page 1081. As we today celebrate that our salvation is secure in Christ alone, we hear Jesus tell us that he is the only way, truth, and life. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, Would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the gospel of the Lord. For our confession of faith this morning, we use the second article of the Apostles' Creed together with Martin Luther's explanation of it. "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead." What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. Please be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would invite you to turn to page 1093. And as you're doing that, I need some help from some of the young people in our congregation. So if any children would be willing to come up and help me at the beginning of this message, I would sure appreciate it. Very good. Oh, this is great. I can't wait. Let me see. We are going to be counting people. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, who wants to count? Who wants to be the counter here? Why don't you be the counter? All right. All right. Come on up, girls. All right. So count all of us who are up here. No, out loud. I count 14. Let's do it again. Let's go a little slower. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I count 13. We are really confused. Well, let's do it one more time. All right. 1, 2. If you can help, if you can call out your number, that might help us too. Let's try that again. So anybody who can do that, just call out if it's your number, just say like 2, okay? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 12? I count 13. Now, how can I come up with 13? Well, let me tell you, there is a good friend of mine who is in heaven right now. His name is Jim Buchholz. And he was an usher. And you know what? Every time he was an usher, he would count the people. He'd go, 1, 2, you can go with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and he would always add 1. Because who's always here? Jesus! You always add 1 because no matter where we are, Jesus is always with us, right? So you counted right, but I was thinking, oh, Jesus is here too. So that's why I always came up with 1 more than you did. So thank you so much. You guys were very helpful. You guys can go back to your seats if you'd like. Always add 1. That's a message that we want to celebrate as we bring our Reformation celebration to a close. Always add 1. Christ alone is always with us. The lesson that we'll study today is in Acts chapter 4. What's led up to this lesson is probably just a few weeks after Pentecost, so maybe a couple of months after Jesus suffered and died, Peter and John come into the temple in Jerusalem, and they see a man who was lame, who was begging, and they just say, you know, we don't have any money to give you, but in the name of Jesus, we say, walk. And this guy who was lame gets up and jumps around, and it's that miracle that was done in Jesus' name that allows Peter and John to gather a crowd there in the temple courts, and they talked about Jesus as the one who was risen from the grave. But they also gathered the attention of the Jewish leaders. And that's where our lesson begins. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." That's a quotation from Psalm 118. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. "The stone you builders, you leaders rejected, has become the capstone." Then he goes on, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. What's remarkable about this lesson is to know that as they are sitting in prison, Peter and John would have had this image burned into their memory. It is probably just a couple of months since the same Jewish leaders before whom they were standing had crucified their leader, Jesus. They were facing incredible danger, enemies from without. And what's amazing is they didn't buckle under pressure. This was the first time after Jesus' resurrection that they are facing opposition. But Jesus had promised, "I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit." And that happened on Pentecost. And that infilling of the Holy Spirit continued. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had courage to know that they were not facing these enemies alone. That Christ, who was victorious over death, was right there with them. This is a truth that Martin Luther had to claim personally. Over the last few weeks, when I've preached on this series, I've emphasized that the Reformation truths were, first of all, personal issues that became pastoral issues as Martin Luther was called to be a doctor of theology, a teacher of students, and a teacher of God's people. Then it became a pastoral issue. But theology is never simply a pastoral issue. It is always a very practical, personal issue. And that's what we see as we kind of walk through the last few years of Luther's life. Luther stood before the Emperor Charles V and said, "I cannot recant. Here I stand." But the danger didn't end there. He also, after that time, was labeled an outlaw. His own prince was fearful for Luther's life, and so Luther is hidden away in this castle, Wartburg, for 10 months. But even after he is allowed to return back to Wittenberg, the dangers that he faces from without are real. It's just about 7 months after he gets back to Wittenberg that he hears of the first Lutheran martyrs who were put to death, burned at the stake, for confessing what he was teaching in Brussels, Belgium. That pressure from without, the enemies without, continued throughout the rest of his life. In the Castle Kohlberg, he stands all by himself as the princes and the theologians gather together in Augsburg to make a confession before Charles V. Luther can't be there because he is still an outlaw. He can't appear before the emperor. The pressure is intense. Again, this emperor, who has gained in power over the last decade, is demanding that the Lutheran princes buckle under. And the pressure is on for Luther to find some kind of compromise. But Luther also had to find this truth, that it's Christ alone who gives us strength. We just sang this marvelous confession that Luther claimed, that even though the whole world be filled with devils and Satan tried to destroy our efforts, one little word can fell him. Now you and I aren't facing the dangers of the Sanhedrin like the apostles. We don't face the pressure from the Holy Roman Empire like Luther did. But there are certainly dangers from without. As a student of church today, I read all kinds of books that warn about waves of trouble coming upon us. That we are, as a church, not just St. Paul's, but the Christian church in America, we are failing to reach the millennial generation. That as the older generation dies off, that suddenly the church will not be able to function because we won't have the financial resources. And there is reason, just reading those books, to be afraid. But just as the apostles remembered that Christ was standing with them, you always add one. Just as Luther remembered Christ was standing with him, you always add one. You and I can remember Christ is standing with us. We can always add one. I so much appreciate this picture that is reminiscent of a vision that the Apostle John received in Revelation. At the time that John received the revelation, he had experienced 60 years of enemies without the church, attacking the church. He had seen and heard about many of his fellow apostles being put to death. He himself was all alone on the island of Patmos in exile. And yet you always add one. He wasn't alone. In this vision, he sees the Savior as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who was powerful enough to overcome whatever dangers the church faces. We can always add one and have confidence of the victory. That these things are happening just as our God foretold. The apostles quoted Psalm 118, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." Our Savior warned us that we would have trouble in this world, but that he would never leave us or forsake us. We always add one. Christ alone gives us hope and confidence from the enemies without. But I believe the greatest dangers that I face are the enemies, the demons within. And I wonder if that wasn't true for the apostles as well. Now, in the apostles, in this text, it tells us that thousands of people came to faith. And I can kind of picture that, kind of like the Lambeau leap, you know, when everything is going right, the football players jump into the stands and everybody congratulates them. They're doing such a great job. The apostles could have felt that way too. Look, the church is growing rapidly from 3,000 on Pentecost. Now, just a couple of weeks later, up to 5,000 men, not even counting the women and children who were involved. The victory is ours. Martin Luther could face something like that too. When he came into the Diet of Worms, the city of Worms, for the Imperial Diet in 1521, crowds cheered when he came. He was a hero. Now, that doesn't exactly sound like demons from within, does it? When things are going great, what are the demons that come within? That you're the one who's making things go great. That it really all depends on you. And Satan's setting us up for a fall. You know, this is a time of great blessings here at St. Paul's. It is a time of incredible ministry opportunities. And it's easy for us on staff to just celebrate and think somehow it all depends on us and you key volunteers who are making it happen. But if that's the case, then we forget that our hope is based on Christ alone. And he's the one who gives us the victory. Because just as surely as we enjoy times of victory, we will experience times where we feel incredibly all alone. Certainly the apostles felt that way as they were in prison. Martin Luther felt that way. As you read biographies of Martin Luther, you find out that he went through times of incredible darkness and despair. Over and over again during his ministry in Wartburg, at the Coburg, he was basically cut off from his friends and Satan attacked. In fact, maybe you've heard that story of how the devil appeared to Martin Luther and Luther threw an inkwell at him. Now, we don't know if that story is true. It first was written about 100 years after Luther, so maybe it's just made up. But what we do know from Luther's own words is that he recognized the devil was incredibly powerful, and he was whispering in Luther's ears, "Are you alone right? How can you be sure?" And you and I hear those kind of whispers too. In a couple of weeks, one of the young men in our congregation is going to share with our teens his own personal struggle, where in the darkness, he was facing the demons, the accusations, the questions that arise in his mind all by himself, and he was about ready to take his life. Thanks be to God, when the demons attack us, in the darkest times, remember that you and I can always add one. That there is salvation found in only one name given under heaven, and that name is Jesus the Christ. And as I look at this picture, I also celebrate the fact that Jesus, in that same vision in Revelation, is depicted not only as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but the Lamb that looks like it has been slain. Always add one. When Satan is accusing you, when he is reminding you of your failures, always add one. You are not alone. Christ is there. And it is Christ alone that is your basis for hope, because he is the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb that Jesus, that God the Father offered in your behalf. And Christ alone is the victory over the demons within. And I so appreciate being able to read a biography and hear about Martin Luther's death, because to me, it's at the moment of death that you and I are most alone. Now, people crowded Luther's deathbed. Oddly enough, it was in his hometown. He was on a mission to try to bring two Lutheran princes, two brothers, into an agreement. And he got sick on that trip, and he's in his hometown, and people are gathering around because it's evident that his life is slipping away. And his good friend Justus Jonas asks him, "Do you want to stand firm on Christ and the doctrine you have taught?" He's all alone. But you're never truly alone. You always add one. Do you want to stand firm on this doctrine, Christ alone? Yeah, yes, Luther gasped. This is ultimately why we are here celebrating the Lutheran Reformation. We may not have crowds of people at our deathbed watching and listening for every last word, but unless Jesus comes back, every one of us is going to be at that deathbed. And then, in a sense, there's nobody else who can help us except Christ alone. And to remember that's especially the time that you always add one, that you will not face that moment alone, that the Savior who died about 2 months before Peter and John was imprisoned, that he is alive. That Peter and John were in prison because they were testifying that Jesus alone was the one who could conquer death, that he had risen from the dead, and that through him the resurrection of the dead would come to us also. This is what the Reformation is all about, so that someday when you and I face that prospect of seeing God in all of his glory, we don't have to be afraid, because Jesus is right there with us and is interceding for us, and we're never alone. This is our Reformation mission, to share with others that when we say, "Here I stand," we really don't mean "here I alone stand," but "here Christ stands and I stand with him." And that our purpose as a congregation is in our mission statement. And our purpose as individuals is here in this mission statement. That in every interaction that we have, that we proclaim Christ alone is our hope against the enemies without, the demons within, and at the moment of our death. That, like Jim always said, you always add one. Our mission is to share this Christ alone with others. Let's close by recommitting ourselves to that mission by reading it together. By every possible means, We bring every person within our area of influence closer to Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We celebrate our Savior's love for us by offering him our gifts.
Almighty and eternal God, When the time had fully come, you sent your Son to take our place under the demands of the law and to endure the just punishment for our sins. For our sake, you accepted his sacrifice on the cross and raised him from death to glorious splendor. When the time had fully come, you bestowed your Spirit on your people as a testimony that you had called them to proclaim the gospel to every creature. Equipped and encouraged, they carried the word of salvation into all the world. When the time had fully come, you raised up your servant, Martin Luther, to restore the pure and right teaching of the Scriptures to a troubled church. You renewed your people with the light of your love, and your holy church grew and prospered throughout the world.
God is our refuge and strength.
When the time had fully come, you made our forefathers bold to take their stand on the truth of your word. You have blessed their sons and daughters, and have enabled us to preserve and proclaim the saving gospel.
Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be
known to all the world. Let this be a time, O Lord, when you renew us again by word and sacrament, when you reform our hearts and minds, and when you restore to us the joy of fellowship and service. Grant to us in this age and in this place the courage of the apostles, the steadfastness of the reformers, and the dedication of those who have gone before us. May this be a time, O Lord, for confession and repentance. Forgive us for the apathy that harms our faith and hinders our works. Forgive us for boasting of our past achievements and for blaming others for our present problems. Rid us of indifference to public worship and Bible study. Destroy the distrust that plagues us and shatter every thought and word that harms the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let this be a time, O Lord, when we recommit and reconsecrate ourselves to the ministry of the gospel. Let us find joy in our unity, zeal for our work, and success in our labor. And we thank you, Lord God, for leading Pastor Nathan Strobel to the decision to come here to be our resident missionary. Bless him and his wife in their transition. Bless Wisconsin Lutheran College as it now looks to replace him. And bless us here at St. Paul's as we await his arrival. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the victory that you have won for us. Please stand. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated.
Thank you for joining us in worship this morning. We received a letter of acceptance from Nathan Strobel. I'd like to read that to you. We called him as our resident missionary. To the people of St. Paul's, Muskego, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. It is with great humility and joyful anticipation that I accept your call to serve among you as resident missionary. After 19 years at Wisconsin Lutheran College, I am asked by the Spirit through God's people to once again be a full-time evangelist, winning souls for eternal life while there is still time. May Jesus continue to work wondrously through the ministry of our congregation as we grow the family of believers before the Lord returns in the clouds to bring his people home. My wife Jean and I are already making plans for the move to Muskego. My desire is to finish out the fall semester for the sake of my freshman theology students, as well as for the good of the college in this time of transition. Please keep my wife and me and the college in your prayers. Please know that many of God's people, both at St. Paul's and beyond, have been in prayer regarding this call to ministry. Obviously, God has answered his people, and we step into the future with bold and joyful anticipation. I look forward to getting to know as many of you as possible in such an active ministry. I patiently await the beginning of this new opportunity to serve. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Pastor Nathan Strobel. So give thanks to God, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Because of the time, I'm going to step out and take off my gown so that you can just kind of stream out and exchange congregation members for the next service. So have a blessed day. Get up, greet the people around you. Thanks for worshiping with us.